Well, good morning. I'd like to just welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus. I'm glad to see each one of you here this morning. And those joining us on the live stream, I'm glad you could join us as well. Receive this call to worship from Colossians 3, 14 to 17. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. These verses are a challenge for us daily to show Jesus to everyone around us. This morning, give thanks to God. Give thanks for all that He has done for us. We're about to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ. His birth should be on our hearts. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could come and gather this morning. We thank you for sending Jesus to the earth as a baby to save us. Thank you for giving us a way to you. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your mercy that you show to each one of us each day. Speak to our hearts this morning. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It seems like in the years that I have lived, many times at Christmas, there's a little something that seems like a hard time or something you wish wouldn't have happened at Christmas time, because it maybe ruins the Christmas season. But in reality, it's hard times that set the stage for Christmas hope. So let's review the story once again and be amazed at God's peace on earth, then and now, and bow down and worship the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing.
Yeah. Let us pray. So, Father, we ask your blessing this morning. We just ask that you would give us the funds we need to, help this building, help the needs that need to be met. We just ask that you be with us this morning. I ask that your presence be filled in this room, that we can truly just feel you this morning, Father. We need that refreshing. These are challenging times, and we need you to just refresh us so we can be back in communication with you at all times. Teach us, show us, guide us the way we need to go, what it is we need to do to help the people around us, to be the people you want us to be, Father. Open our hearts this morning that we can hear the message that you are giving through Tony, and I just pray that you would bless Tony and give him all the words that he needs, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The last two songs are just invite you to stand and sing to me as we have a living heaven with God and be born and be our King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalms 89, 1 to 4. I will sing about the Lord's faithful love forever. I will proclaim your faithfulness to all the generations with my mouth. For I will declare faithful love is built up forever. You establish your faithfulness in the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build up your throne for all generations. And 19 to 29. You once spoke in a vision to your faithful ones and said, I have granted help to a warrior. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant. I have anointed him with my sacred oil. My hand will always be with him, and my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not oppress him. The wicked will not afflict him. I will crush his foes before him and strike those who hate him. My faithfulness and love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will extend his power to the sea and his right hand to the rivers. And he will call to me, you're my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn, greatest of the kings of the earth. I will always preserve my faithful love for him, and my covenant with him will endure. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens last. So it is time for our children's story. There's some tape on the floor up here, so I invite the children to come up and sit as a family group on a tape square, so you guys can come forward. They're kind of all across the front here. So I need a volunteer. Greta, pick one of these and open it. You don't get to keep what's inside, but you can pick one and open it. Ooh, yeah, I'll explain that later. You can just leave that sit there. Now I need a volunteer to open the other one. Open it up. Tear the tape off. If you can, I can open it then. There you go. So there's something better inside, and you're wishing you could keep it, huh? There's a bag of M&Ms inside. So I'm going to read some verses and tie this all together. So Samuel the prophet, he went to Jesse's hometown to make one of Jesse's sons the new king over Israel. So I'm going to read 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 and 7. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, "Certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart." See, Samuel had looked at the outside. He had looked at Eliab and said, "This guy has got to be the king. He was probably taller than everybody else and stronger and good looking." But God looked at what was in his heart and said, "I rejected him." God chose David, the youngest son of Jesse, not the oldest son. Because normally you would pick the oldest son. See, the nice gift that Greta went to right away and opened up had a bag with some tissues in it, some coffee grounds, there's an eggshell in here, and a used packet of ketchup. It's not so good on the inside, but it looked really good on the outside. And the one that wasn't wrapped real nice and didn't look so good had a really nice gift on the inside. Had something really good on the inside. And those are mine, by the way. I'm not sharing with my kids. I'll share with Teresa, but not my kids. So they're thinking, "Ha ha, yeah, right." So what can we learn from that? Do not judge people from the outside. It might look really good on the outside, but what is inside might not be very good. So you don't know what someone's heart is like. The only way to do that is to get to know somebody. Have them as a friend and learn what they're like. And that's how we can know what someone's heart is. Because you don't know their heart just by looking at them. They might be dirty and have torn clothing and might look different than we do and talk different than we do. It takes work and effort to get to know somebody's heart. You guys have been good listeners. Hannah is going to hand out a snack to you. So you can see Hannah for a snack and then head back to your seats. I'd like to thank the worship team for leading us in worship this morning, and I'd like to thank Tony for reading the verses this morning. Oh, you're welcome. I thought about it because it was in my notes, but then it slipped my mind. Huh, maybe I should text Larry and see who's in charge of getting someone to read the verses. Well, apparently it was me. So, well, And I didn't want to give Cullen a blowtorch because he said, that's the only way I'll light the, read the verses and light the candles if you give me a torch. And I went, nah, I'm not going to do that. So good morning and Merry Christmas to each one of you. My family and I would like to thank you for all the cards and gifts that you have blessed us with this Christmas season. I would like to thank you for your prayers that you have offered up to God on our behalf. I want to thank Dwayne Weaver, Brian Martin, Sheldon Brubaker, and Eric Marshall, and all the guest speakers that have been here during Larry's sabbatical. All of the help you have given is greatly appreciated. I thank you for that. And thank you to you as a congregation for your support and encouragement to me during that time. Today we are almost at Christmas, and we are continuing our Advent series with On the Road to Revelation. See, when you look back at the Old Testament, you can see the road that God has laid out. God was revealing his plans to give us Jesus. And it's going to start as a wide road and narrow down from there, pointing to Jesus. There's at least 8 different prophecies pointing to the birth of Jesus. We're going to look at some of them. I'm not going to read each one. I'm going to comment on them, and I invite you to read them because it'll be up on the screen as I comment on them. Starting with Genesis 12:3, God is talking to Abraham and tells him that all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And this is a broad statement, and that includes a lot of people. It's like a 12-lane highway. How many of you would like to drive on a 12-lane highway? Not me. Well, if it's empty like that, sure, why not? That'd be fun. You'd go really fast. Genesis 17:19. God is telling Abraham that he and Sarah will have a son, and God is confirming that he will make a permanent covenant with Isaac's ancestors. The road of Revelation narrows more. It's more like an 8-lane highway. Genesis 28:14. God is telling Jacob that all peoples on earth will be blessed through his offspring. We're getting smaller. We're going down to a 4-lane highway. Genesis 49:10. Jacob is giving his blessing to his sons before he dies. And he blessed Judah, saying, the scepter will come through Judah. We're down to a 2-lane road. And I'm going to read 2 Samuel 7:12 to 13. When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your descendant, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Through the prophet Samuel, God makes a covenant with David. God is going to establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Might be a little tough to see, but it is a lineage pointing from, boy, I'm having a tough time seeing it, Abraham all the way down to Jesus. Each step points more and more to Jesus. We're down to a 1-lane road. Isaiah 7:13 and 14. Isaiah said, listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Isaiah is prophesying to the birth of the Messiah and how it would take place. The road to Revelation is a very narrow path. And our verses for today are Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to visit to the virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." He will reign over the household of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have had no relations with the man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. We have the angel Gabriel going to Mary, giving her the revelation that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. The road to Revelation is pointing to Jesus. And this definitely fits the definition of revelation. A surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. Was this dramatic? Absolutely. You have the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary. Was Mary surprised? Yes. It says in verse 29 that she was deeply troubled and that the angel had to tell her not to be afraid. How many of you would be afraid if one of God's angels appeared in front of you? I see a couple hands. See, there's many reasons that an angel of God would come. Some of these reasons are good, and some of these reasons are not so good. Some of the punishments that were handed out to the nations and armies in the Bible were taken care of by angels. People didn't know why the angel came until the angel told them, "Don't be afraid," or "Peace be with you." See, when they were greeted favorably, they could calm down a little bit and hear God's message to them, because they were afraid they were going to die. I want you to think about this. The angel that Mary saw stood in the very presence of God. It tells us in Luke 1:19, when Zechariah was told that his wife Elizabeth would have a son, and they were supposed to name him John, this being came from the very presence of God to deliver a message to Mary. Think about that. That angel was standing before God himself. All this was going on, and Mary didn't even get the message that the angel came to deliver yet. For many of the people of the Bible who saw angels, they were overwhelmed. The angel told her she would have a son, that he would sit on David's throne, and that his kingdom will have no end. He will reign over the house of Jacob. Gabriel also told her that God himself will give these things to her son. in the verses I talked about earlier that were pointing to Jesus, they said the same things that the angel said to Mary. The prophecy was being fulfilled. And Mary needed some clarification. How is this going to happen since she was only betrothed and not married, and she was never with a man? The angel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come on you, and that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This news was foretold in Genesis that the Messiah is coming. He is finally here. This has been a long journey. Isaiah's prophecy to the time of Jesus' birth is approximately 700 years. The people have been studying the scriptures and have been waiting for their king to be born. He is finally here to set them free. But God had a much bigger plan than just an earthly king to set people free, and a king to overthrow governments in that land. God's plan was much, much bigger. Mary, hearing this news only moments ago, takes her will out of the equation and does this amazing thing. She accepts what God is saying. And I'm going to read verse 38 again. "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Wow. What a faith in God, and what humbleness displayed by Mary. The road to Revelation does not stop here. It doesn't stop with the birth of Jesus. This is only the midpoint of the journey. Jesus goes to the cross and dies as a sacrifice for each and every one of us so that we can have eternal life and be forgiven from our sins. The journey did not end in death. Christ, raised from the dead, is sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the time to return and reign forever. And this is the revelation that we are waiting for. So from these verses that we read this morning, what can we learn and apply to our lives today? See, as we go down the road of our lives, with all of its twists and turns, we can learn a lot. The things that God has planned for our lives can take time. The nation of Israel waited for Jesus to come and save them for 700 plus years. We need to be like Mary while we're waiting. See, Mary's attitude was that of a servant, submitting to God. Submitting to God's authority and His will. When things happen to us that we don't want, that we don't like, or we don't understand, things that make our lives take a turn, in an unexpected direction, giving God control of every situation, allowing Him to work in us, makes the waiting easier. It takes the burden off of us. Like Mary, we may have questions for God. How's this going to happen? And what does this mean? See, God didn't tell Mary that night that she's going to have a son by the power of the Holy Spirit and he's going to die on a cross. Mary only got a small piece of the picture that was going to happen next. God sees the entire picture and reveals to us the pieces that we need when we need it. So follow Mary's example to submit to God and His will every day. Here's another way to apply these verses. Before we became Christians, the Holy Spirit was at work in us, revealing who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts and minds, pointing us to Christ. See, when we are faced with this revelation that we need to be saved from our sins and have faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows us that faith in Jesus as our Savior is the only way to be saved. We either acted like Mary did and submitted our lives to Christ and asked Jesus into our hearts, or we rejected Him. This is one of the most important revelations that we are faced with. This is just as amazing and terrifying as when the angel stood in front of Mary. Looking at the Bible, we can learn that God has a plan for us. So what can we find and apply from the Old Testament that looks like our lives today? We can see that we're living out these verses from Luke 1. Do you feel like you're living out those verses from Luke 1? Well, you are. We're like the nation of Israel, waiting for a revelation. We're waiting for Christ to return. We're waiting for our King to come and save us. Just like the nation of Israel was waiting for the King to come. They were waiting to be saved from oppression and have an earthly king. We have prophecy pointing to the Messiah coming again. The nation of Israel had prophecy as well, pointing to the Messiah coming. Jesus came the first time as a baby, and when He comes again, it will be as a conquering king, bringing His people into His kingdom forever. Just like them, we don't know when or where it will happen. We do know it will happen. As we go and celebrate Christmas, what are we focused on? Is your focus on Jesus? Or is your focus on tradition and all of the things that are going on in the Christmas season? Are we looking and waiting for Christ's return? Are we submitting to God's will every day? Are we truly thankful in our hearts for the gift of Jesus that God has given to us? This is a season when we need to take some time and reflect what is in our hearts. So as we journey down our road with its twists and turns, it is going to end. Is it with Christ or not? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Jesus that You have given us. Help us to put You first in everything that we do. We are waiting for that final revelation of Your Son. Show us Your will each day. Bring us closer to You and help us to humbly submit to Your authority. May Your will be done in us always. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team forward.
Among angels from the realms of glory, the last verse says, sinners run with true repentance, doomed for guilt, to endless pains. Justice now revokes the sentence. Mercy calls you to break your chains. Let us offer to us and we have to receive as another king to go.
Angels from the realms of glory, Well, it's that time of year again to remind you about next year and the offerings. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for your faithful continued giving through this trying year. The church financially is healthy, and we've been able to bless a lot of other people in our community as well as abroad. So thank you for your faithful continued giving. To that end, for 2021, you should have received, if you're getting the offering envelopes in your box, along with a reminder sheet about filling them out. But I like to take that opportunity again to let you know that on the envelope, just to make sure that it's very clear for you, is like December 3rd Sunday, which is this Sunday. But say maybe you missed last week and you wanted a separate to make sure that it's for last week. Circle, if it says December 2nd Sunday, circle that, just so we know. And we don't, if it's not marked, we think, well, maybe you just put it for this week. So if you want to be very clear, or the bottom where it says weekly offering and there's a line underneath and there's any specific item you wish to contribute as well to, please put that in there and the amount. That way it makes it very clear for us. Again, it's a housekeeping item, but the check number on the line, and if you're giving cash, you can just simply put a check mark or the amount in the cash line. And also, like I mentioned with the year, if we get a check that says 2020 next year, January 2020, well, then the check's a year old. And besides, I don't think we want to be writing 2020 anymore. So what I always do is I put the next year's date in a few checks running so I don't forget, and it's a reminder to me, oh yes, this is the new year. Also, if you haven't gotten, there are some extras, should have received an offering schedule as well. Again, thank you very much for your generous giving, and thank you.
Yes, 2020 is soon in the rearview mirror. That's great. You know what else is great? On a cold winter day, soup. Not just any soup. What kind of soup? Yeah, chicken noodle and Swedish meatball soup. So the youth group's having a soup sale. The soup's going to be here to pick up on January 17th. And it's going to be Swedish meatball and chicken noodle soup. So there's sign-up sheets. There's one down in the basement in the coat room area, and there's one out front here. You can sign up for what kind of soup you want. It'll be available for pickup here on Sunday the 17th, but if you're not going to be here, let somebody know, or you can fill out the sign-up sheet accordingly, and we can deliver it to you. You can also talk to Ann Becker. You can give her a call or a text on her cell phone, which is in the church directory, and let her know what kind of soup you want. Or we have a fourth option. We're planning on putting a link on the church website to sign up online for what kind of soup you want. So anyway, soup's good.
I would like to echo Sheldon's thoughts of thanking you for your generosity during times that could be very difficult. I do have some other announcements. There is a Christmas program planned for the Bowmansville Park. There's a flyer in the foyers, so if you have interest in that, it's hanging up there, has information on it, and when and where. I'll let you look at that. There's a note in your bulletin about next Sunday. We are starting church at 9:30. We are not having Sunday school, and we are not going to have the refreshments this year like other years, but we're going to start at 9:30, like we have done other years. And if you have ordered cookies, you can pick them up in the basement after dismissal. If you didn't order any, there's extras. I saw a sign out here in this entrance that you can pick some up if you'd like some. And just a note from Devin's team, they're seeing God move in big ways. They saw over 25 people come to faith in Christ in their first day of evangelizing. So just, that is awesome. That is awesome. So thank you for your support, supporting Devin so that he was able to go. And just remember to pray for him and his team, and that God would continue to move in amazing ways and that many people would come to Christ. So will you stand for this parting benediction? Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. God bless you. Go in peace and have a merry, blessed Christmas, full of love for God and His Son, Jesus. God bless you. You're dismissed.